Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. All Season 3 episodes are available now. Stream every episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
What is funny now?
There's a headline. Oh, it's Fox News. Revolt inside the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, see, that's what happens now. If this was like a right-wing newspaper or website that had the strikers, they wouldn't get that kind of coverage.
So
Side just likes to accent what's wrong with the other side as much as they can.
People who sit in chairs with advanced college degrees, angry over working conditions.
Well, you know, they're educated writers. They are informing the world on the major issues of the day, and they deserve compensation. Mm.
All the great gender crises of the day.
What do we got for you this hour? Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. And I'll begin with the headline, Deborah Mark. P22 must die.
Yeah, I know.
Second strike.
At that. She agrees.
No, I didn't say I agree. I didn't say that. I said,
well, you said,
I know. I know because I know the story.
It sounded like you resigned to his demise.
P22 is a mountain lion. We'll explain why P22 has to die. No relocating. Die. Sorry. All right. She doesn't object that much.
No, I didn't say that. I'm going to wait until we talk about this.
She's She's saving her objections.
Exactly.
And the related mountain lion story out of Northern California is hard to believe. We'll tell you that one, too. Also, we're going to talk about these attacks on electric substations, electricity substations that have occurred in a number of places around the country. Real fears for the grid. We begin the hour by talking about Assembly Bill 257, also known as the FAST Act. The word fast, of course, refers to fast food. This is your California government at work. Whenever we don't like what the private sector is doing, we will interfere and in some cases pretty much take over. So this is what it is. A 10 councils, whatever you want to call it, agency, to oversee working conditions for employees at counter service chains with 100 and more locations. They will work on working conditions, wages. It looks like the idea is to eventually try to step in and replace the decisions of the corporations and the workers' pay and conditions.
Government control of private business, which is what they had in the Soviet Union.
But what did we have going on for years? Remember the fight for 15? That was a lot of fast food. We didn't know how much of them were workers. Some of them were just union people who were out there campaigning for a $15 an hour wage.
That was just agitation by socialist communist groups because the workers themselves were rarely on the picket lines.
Well, actually, it was union people. They were not fast food union people. No, they were other union people who wanted to add them to the ranks.
Yeah, that's right. The union people.
Remember they wore their purple?
Right. They wanted to expand the size of the union. That is completely different from an unfair wage complaint. The wages are not unfair because it is very low skill labor. And when you're easily replaced, the market will set up a wage at a low number. Because the job isn't worth that much. If you don't need any special skills and everybody has those skills. One of the great changes from when I was a teenager is I had a lot of friends who had fast food jobs in the summertime. And nobody ever complained. They just wanted to make some extra money in the summer. Sometimes their parents made them. That used to be a thing. And then cut to current days and you have grown men, sometimes middle-aged men and women, working at these minimum wage jobs and complaining that it's not enough. Well, of course it's not enough.
Not enough to pay a mortgage and raise a family.
It never was enough. The turnover rate is always high because you're passing through. It's mostly high school and college kids. And really, if you're doing this work after the age of 22, you got the big L on your forehead.
What's the appeal of fast food restaurants? They're fast and they're cheap. If you're going to start paying the workers like $30 or $40 an hour, it ain't going to be cheap no more.
And the thing is...
And what, you're going to do this so they can afford a house and to raise a family? Instead, meanwhile, you're going to drive up and pay $20 for a hamburger? It doesn't work that way.
There's so much, I would call it economic illiteracy. You know, there's real illiteracy. People can't read, and mathematical illiteracy. They can't count or make change. And then there's economic illiteracy. There's this belief that because someone pays a license fee for the McDonald's sign and the McDonald's menu, that is the CEO of McDonald's that owns the franchise. And it's not. It's a local guy or a local woman or a local family. And their profit margin is really thin. And no, they can't pay $22 an hour for you to flip a burger. That's simply mathematically impossible. Not that you know mathematics. I mean, there's a reason that you're flipping burgers at your age. It's because you don't know mathematics. You don't know how economics works. You just think you're entitled to a big salary because you exist.
But I think you touched on it earlier, even though every now and then the media interviews the workers and they sound like they're really on hard times. A lot of this the Service Employees International Union put out a statement on this. That's who's behind this, along with the politicians that believe everything is unequal economically and I have to do what I can as a politician to correct it. Therefore, I will confiscate control from these fast food franchises and companies.
Sometimes I wonder.
And I will determine the wages and the working conditions.
I think it's just bribery. The unions control the Democratic Party in California, and the unions, by their nature, always want more. The unions act exactly like corporations do. Corporations always want bigger profits. The unions always want to make more money, and the union leaders always want to get more pay. It's this, they're exactly a mirror image of the corporations.
Right.
But their shtick is the corporations are bad and abusing the workers. No, they're not. You, the workers, you don't have any skills worthwhile. You're never going to get paid very much. And if you force local franchisees to pay $22 an hour, they're just going to go out of business. And we see companies going out of business now because the conditions are terrible. Like Walmart announced they might do that. Walgreens has closed stores
from
the theft. You'll now have local franchisees closing the doors because it's like, hey, it doesn't work economically. Math doesn't work, so we're closing.
Well, here's the update. The fast food people have, first of all, organized themselves into a organization called, it's a good name, Save Local Restaurants. Two good words in there, Save Local, to make people think this is about local small restaurants.
Yeah, it's about fooling them, yes.
They claim they got 1 million signatures to put on the ballot, a measure that would overturn AB 257. They made the news this week for that. That's a lot of signatures, 1 million signatures. Even if they throw, I don't know how many they need to qualify this for the ballot, but it's
so this is
like
to get rid of
a cushion.
This is to get rid of the commission.
Yes, it would overturn the assembly bill, which would get rid of the council.
All right, so it's not a fake title. It really would save local residents,
local
businesses rather,
yes,
and restaurants.
Well, yes, but although they said the top contributors behind it are, you might have guessed, In-N-Out, Chipotle, Starbucks.
Oh, yeah,
they're not exactly small. Well, the franchisees are small of those places, but In-N-Out actually owns all of its own restaurants.
In-N-Out makes a great product, and they actually, by the standards of fast food, pay their employees pretty well.
They do.
And there's this...
It's always young and clean people in there.
Yes, clean people are really important.
Sparkling white outfits they have.
There's such a disease in our culture against people who succeed, people who make money, companies that do well. And it really has happened like over the last 10 years. A lot of things have changed in the last 10 years. This is not one of those, oh, in the old days it was better. This is in recent memory. In 2010, even 2015, things were different. And the woke holes have taken control of all the cultural beliefs in this country, and people feel shamed and bullied into agreeing with it. But that's the sign of a nation that is failing and dying. If you don't celebrate successful people, if you don't celebrate people who make money, corporations that do well, you're going to end up with a rundown, mediocre, or worse nation.
Well,
it's a terrible set of attitudes. It's a set of loser attitudes.
There's so much infighting going on now. That's another sign of a nation in decline.
Oh, yeah.
When the people are at each other's throats. You're responsible. I blame you.
I don't remember having these discussions even during most of the Obama years. It's something that happened, I guess, around the onset of Trump, you know, because his existence.
He raised the bar.
And
on this,
energized
right?
All these woke a-holes. And they've gone full anarchist, full communist, all about confiscation of private property, control of corporations, how much profit they make, how much you pay to employees. Woof.
Well, yeah, it's the belief that capitalism is broken and we have to fix it, that we have to end it effectively because
evil. Replace it with socialism.
Government control. Power.
Right, because
it's
that
government
went
control,
well.
Right.
Right.
The government will take all the money and distribute it properly and equally among all its citizens.
These people who are illiterate when it comes to reading, math, economics, are also illiterate when it comes to history. They don't know what happened when they tried socialism, communism in many countries around the world. It ended up in a terrible fiasco every single time. It's never worked.
We got more coming up. It is the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Maybe we should go to the homes of animal activists, stand on their lawn, get bullhorns, and shout at them all night.
They mean well.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They're trying to protect and save animals.
That's their cover.
What are they covering for?
Their diminished, empty lives.
Okay.
It's the John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we have a brand new update on the story we headlined at the top of the hour that I said P-22 must die. P-22 is a mountain lion. We're not talking about the pony rides here, but here's the mountain lions again. There's quite a few stories lately with the mountain lions. There was one in John's neighborhood recently. But P-22 is named P-22 because it's already been captured and tagged. And that's how they refer to it, P-22. It has killed one chihuahua and just attacked another one. And now they're going to capture it and evaluate it.
That's
for
right.
Exhibiting signs of distress.
Yes. See, they're not just going to go shoot it and kill it.
You shoot it and kill it.
No,
if it can take a dog, it could take a child. There's something really wacky about this mountain lion. Got to go.
So, in your hierarchy, chihuahuas are on top of mountain lions.
It's not about hierarchy. It's about behavior. This is the death penalty. Mountain lions are all over the place, but this one is right there on the streets now, grabbing chihuahuas. This one's wacko. This one's a serial killer. This one dies. That's it, Deborah Mark.
I think they're going to evaluate it, and maybe it needs some medical attention. It's upset.
Yeah,
it's
a
hurt.
Psychiatrist, huh?
And maybe it needs some medication, and they're going to go put it back in the wild and see what happens.
Mountain lions get rabid?
I don't know.
I think almost all creatures can get rabid, right?
People.
Or is that only something that mammals get? Because bats, is it a mammal thing? I don't know.
Maybe it's a little senile and it thought the chihuahua was a bunny.
Just hungry, that's all.
Well, no, I don't.
They're hungry.
I don't like that.
I mean, it grabbed
chihuahua.
A leash chihuahua,
yeah.
Which is
no,
really
that,
bizarre.
But the coyotes do the same thing.
So we should kill coyotes,
so what
too.
Do we do? We're just going to kill all these animals? We're just going to have a mess?
You kill the animals that attack. That is all I'm saying. You do not bother the rest. Once the animal has shown the temperament to come and attack either other animals, pets, people, goodbye.
Should somebody be killed for being hungry?
That's not the question. There's plenty of food.
That's my question.
What are you playing Deborah Mark's role now?
I'm rubbing off on him.
Sometimes I identify as Deborah.
Oh, you poor guy.
Well, you're just playing devil's advocate.
No, it's just a question I have.
I don't know that it's hunger. I don't know that it's hunger.
You think it's just viciousness? Mean.
Well, let's look at story number two. Did you see what happened to the border collie up in Sonoma County?
No.
That is incredible video. The mountain lion went into a woman's home. I don't know, the door was open, like a sliding glass door in the backyard. He dragged the border collie out into the yard. The border collie faints from shock.
Oh, no.
And I thought the border collie at first was smart, was playing dead. The mountain lion stands over it, but leaves. So, John, if he's hungry, why didn't he eat the border collie? He did not. He simply grabbed the border collie out into the yard and then left. But he did go up and eat two goats. Well, he killed two goats.
Oh, all right. So he was hungry.
I shouldn't say eat. It's not clear if he ate them or he just killed them. I mean, these are predatory beings.
We're also building homes in these areas where these animals they were there first. That's the problem. I live up in the hills and I don't like coyotes. I really don't. I'm terrified when I walk my dogs. But then I sit there and I say, okay, well, you're the ding dong that decided to move up in the hills where the animals are.
Well, this woman, this is the place outside of Santa Rosa. The person that owns the home, great last name. Her name is Rebecca Cracker. Miss Cracker said there must be something wrong with this mountain lion because usually they have some fear. I'm going to make the same case I made 2 minutes ago. Now that this mountain lion has done this, kill it. That's it. There are plenty of mountain lions that don't do this, Deborah Mark. We can save all of them. But once they exhibit this type of behavior, and I'm afraid development's not going to end just because you think we're encroaching on their space.
So the more we develop, the more we have a right to kill the mountain lions whose space we're invading.
No, that's my point. We do not.
No, we kill the mountain lions who attack us, John. Stop trying to twist the story.
But at some point, are we the aggressor for moving into their neighborhoods, into their land?
We take priority. People got to live. We're people.
We don't have to live in the hills.
So you're a human supremacist.
I am. No, I'm not anti-animal. I've made this very clear. It's only about the ones that exhibit this kind of deadly behavior
you
that they want to kill them.
No, some animals are worthy of support. And others,
but all these animals, aren't they, if given the chance, that they're going to try and attack animals? I don't know.
Isn't this just like people? If you commit murder, we're putting you away. In fact, John and I are for the death penalty for people who murder. Mm. If you're an animal who murders, we're going to murders something unusual. Obviously, mountain lions do kill like small game.
Well, I mean, that's their thing, right? So I think that with the chihuahua,
coyotes kill rodents, which is a good thing.
Well, all right, there you go. So if they're eating rodents or squirrels or possums, then no death penalty.
Yeah, nobody's attached to those creatures. But if it's somebody's
they don't know how to distinguish a household pet.
If the animal has an emotional, if there's an emotional attachment.
Let me get this straight from both of you. A mountain lion that kills a small dog or attacks a little girl like that should not die?
No.
Should not die?
First of all,
out of your mind?
I did not say anything about the little girl. And I hate that these chihuahuas are getting attacked. I have two dogs. You know how I feel about my dogs. But unfortunately, that's what these animals do. That's why I go out with a taser. I do everything I can to try and scare them away. I'm asking you a simple question.
If we capture the correct coyote, we do not kill it?
I think we should relocate it.
John Cobalt, we do not kill it?
Coyotes you can kill.
You're squirreling all over the place.
Coyotes you can kill. Mountain lions I like. And I don't think there's a moral difference between the mountain lion going after a squirrel and going after a small dog. It doesn't know the difference.
That's
really
what I was saying.
It doesn't know the dog is connected to a human, and the human has an emotional attachment.
Because
a human has an emotional attachment to an animal, then that animal lives, and an animal that doesn't have a connection to a human, that animal dies.
Right, but we can't look at the world that black and white way because we are people with pets, and therefore we have to guard our part of the universe that's important. And those things are important.
I think we need to have loud things like a whistle. You know, you guys were talking about how to prevent coyote attacks, a whistle, a taser that makes noise, do whatever we can when we're walking our pets to scare away coyotes.
Yeah, I think this woman's point up in Sonoma County is that they're losing the fear. Maybe that stuff's not going to work.
Well, that is.
This guy entered the house.
Well, don't have a doggy door. That's other thing. Don't have a doggy door if that's how it got in.
That's trespassing, an illegal break-in. All right, we got to do the news. John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, the Moist Line is coming back tomorrow. And, of course, we play the fun Christmas music behind it. You want to be a part of it, leave a message. There's still time. The iHeartRadio app using the microphone icon is one way to connect. Or you can call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. I just saw a story that George Gascon went on Channel 7 today to defend how the DA's office is going to handle crimes involving immigrants. But we should get this audio.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We told you yesterday that he has a new directive that you have to consider the deportation status of a criminal when deciding what the charges are going to be against the criminal.
He is going to hold back charges if it means the illegal alien might get deported by the federal government. For example, gun enhancements. The alien commits a crime. A gun charge would increase the penalty, more time in prison, and may get him deported. Well, Gascon doesn't want criminal illegal aliens deported. Now, if you're not a criminal illegal alien, you might get the gun charge enhancement. You get special protection if you're here illegally. You get treated more harshly if you're an American citizen.
Yeah.
I mean, officially, the whole universe is inverted. Everything is upside down and reversed from the way things used to be just a few years ago.
All right, so we'll get this audio and probably get to the story next hour. Here on the John and Ken Show. We brought it to you last night in the 5 o'clock hour. We have these electricity substation attacks going on. The one that's been making news is the one in North Carolina, where tens of thousands of people were without power for days. Somebody shot at the substation, and also in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon and Washington, 5 electricity substations have been attacked just in the last couple of weeks. At least 5 power stations, according to the FBI. The Department of Homeland Security warned earlier this year that domestic extremists have been developing plans to target the power grid since 2020. Although I remember going back to 9/11 days, right? They talked about how that might be one thing that the terrorists might try to do besides setting off a chemical or biological bomb would be attack the power grid.
Because it's easy to do and it's especially crippling.
It is.
You know, you shut down the electrical grid, you shut down the internet, you can really do a lot of damage just by focusing on one site And those sites are not particularly well protected.
No, it says here that at the Pacific Northwest substations, they used hand tools and firearms and metal chains. In recent attacks, criminal actors bypassed security fences by cutting the fence links, lighting nearby fires, shooting equipment from a distance, or throwing objects over the fence and onto the equipment is how they're doing. The motives are just not known. And nobody knows whether or not these are just, you know, right-wing or left-wing extremists. We just don't know.
It's it's anarchy. It's terrorists. They want to cause damage, destruction, tear down America. Everybody's got a different set of reasons, but they all have the same drive, and they all have the same destination.
I guess.
They want to wreck the place.
Although you heard one of the theories in the North Carolina attacks? Stopping drag shows. The power went out over the weekend in North Carolina during the Downtown Divas drag show at the Sunrise Theater in Southern Pines, about an hour into the performance. Prior to that, a number of protesters and counter-protesters gathered to demonstrate in front of the theater. So what, there are some that believe there's linkage in North Carolina.
Well, based on what evidence?
The fact that they were there angry and protesting, and then the power went out just an hour into the performance is their
evidence. Went out all over the place, though, didn't it?
It did, but whoever struck knew that if they attacked this substation, it might send the power down at that club, I guess.
Wouldn't you just cut the wires at the club?
That would be easier.
Yeah.
Cut the wires, right. A lot of it's being done by gunshots.
It's like the whole world is this big conspiracy theory game. Well, what if this happened? Well, why did this happen?
Well, you blame the left-wing anarchists, right? That was your theory just now, so, you know.
Did I?
You did. You said something about the anarchists who really want to cause chaos.
There's right wing anarchists too. I didn't mean that specifically.
I usually attach the anarchist word to that crowd that was out there protesting the George Floyd thing and everything.
Yeah, they're all kind of the same. I mean, they just want disruption, disorder.
Yeah, I guess so, because they're not going to get any change by doing this. They're just going to create disruption and disorder.
They're not going to get any change by...
put us all in the dark.
That's all. Everything gets dark for a while, and then they'll fix it, and we move on. A lot of this, so much of this is pointless. It really amuses me. It's like, all right, you know, you blew up a building. All right, you shut down the electricity. We're going to rebuild everything. We're going to move on tomorrow, so you're not getting anywhere with this.
All right. Oh. When we come back, and I pulled this story just for you, John. They have pulled DNA basically out of soil that they believe they can analyze and take us back 2 million years to tell us what life was like in Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they discovered something shocking.
Shocking and quite different from what we see today. We'll talk about it. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We mentioned this the other day. We saw an interview with a journalist by the name of Sam Quinones. He was on our show a couple of months ago. He wrote for LA Magazine, and this time he was interviewed by New York Magazine, The Intelligencer. And it was all about super meth, also fentanyl, and what it's done to the homeless population. And the thing that really occurred to both of us in reading the interview was this idea that... these drugs, especially meth, which has become far more potent in its production, takes away your instinct for self-preservation. And that may explain a lot about why this homeless problem the last 6, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever, has really gotten worse. Because people that get hooked on these super potent drugs now are just not in the mode to make any decisions that could keep them alive, basically.
It's destroying their brains. It's actually destroying the instinct to stay alive.
That's why they need to be taken in and helped. Whatever it takes, right?
Because
they're not going to make that decision for themselves. They don't want to.
I think it's a shocking discovery that explains a lot of what's going on in the streets, because what's going on didn't exist just a few years ago. And the question that was always in my head is, like, why are things going on that you've never seen before? And it's so prevalent. Something's changed. What's changed? And it's the meth used to be 50% pure. There is such a concept. It was 50% meth. Now it's 99% meth.
And that'll do a number on your brain.
Yeah. And that destroys your brain. If you look at these drugs as poison, these aren't overdoses. These it's like drinking Drano, right? Nobody dies from an overdose of Drano. You get poisoned by Drano. Well, the meth is the poison here, and it destroys your brain cells.
And with fentanyl, apparently there's no coming back. Fentanyl addicts eventually die.
Yeah. Right?
Meth people can get off of, but fentanyl's really difficult.
Yeah, this is, this is why you're seeing things that you never saw before.
And so, that's really what the tactics to combat it have to be about, to recognize this first rather than just say, hey, it's a housing problem.
No, it's, you know, people got to, that has to be stomped and shut down, that whole line. No, it is. It's really, that's childish. That's something an eight-year-old would come up with. The science of this is the meth and the fentanyl are destroying these people's brains. And if it takes away your self-preservation instinct, it means you have no desire for anything other than the drug. And it does, you don't care if you die. You're sitting there going, oh, if only I had a roof over my head. They're not thinking about it. They don't want that. They need another hit of the drug.
All right, now, let's look at the science. Scientists have discovered the oldest known DNA, used it to reveal what they say was life was like 2 million years ago in the northern tip of Greenland. Today, what do we know Greenland as? Described here in this news story as a barren Arctic desert. But back then, it was a lush landscape of trees, vegetation, animals, even including the now extinct mastodon. Think about that. And we've talked about that from time to time on the subject of climate change because we've said, well, look at Greenland. But apparently, there was research, and now this seems to be more specific, that said that at one time it was pretty lush.
Yeah, I mean, Greenland is usually covered with a lot of ice and permafrost, which is permanently frozen, barren land. And everybody wondered, why was it named Greenland? Because hundreds of years ago, there was a warming period, and the ice melted in Greenland, and beautiful things started growing. This lush environment that you mentioned. And so,
well, if this was 2 million years ago, it tells me this cycles back and forth.
Yes. Yes. And get this line here. Millions of years ago, this region was undergoing a period of intense climate change.
Oh, no.
That sent temperatures up. Sediment built up for tens of thousands of years before the climate cooled and cemented everything into permafrost. Oh, look at that. A warming period that melted all the ice for tens of thousands of years. Climate change.
The warming period wasn't from carbon, from people driving cars?
Oh, you know the kinds of cars they were driving 2 million years ago? Those mastodons?
In Greenland?
Oh, mastodons are driving Lamborghinis all over.
The cold environment helped preserve the delicate bits of DNA that they used. They came along and started to drill samples out beginning in 2006. During the region's warm period, when average temperatures were 20 to 34 degrees Fahrenheit higher than today, the area was filled with plant and animal life. Look at that.
Okay. Do you know that the fear is 100 years from now, the average temperature might be 2 degrees higher than
higher
it is now?
Today, yeah.
Two! And back then, 2 million years ago, the temperature, average temperature, shot up perhaps as high as 34 degrees. Huh. Wow. Who knew?
Well, the only thing that I think of, and this, of course, I'm not a scientist, but wow, I realize soil and DNA samples can be powerful, but to go back 2 million years with it, that just... kind of shocks me that you would even that there'd be any science that could do that with
yeah,
any accuracy.
Yeah, I know. And that's assuming this. It says
one big surprise was finding DNA from the mastodon, an extinct species that looks like a mix between an elephant and a mammoth. They did not expect that.
I guess that's one of the hints that it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
The DNA showed traces of animals, geese, hares, reindeer, lemmings. Mm. The lemmings still survive here. They found a dung beetle.
Wow.
I wouldn't have in a million years expected to find a mastodon in northern Greenland, said a researcher at Stockholm University.
So, they also got clues about marine life, too. But, horseshoe crabs, green algae lived in the sea.
Do you see why this is...
The waters were likely warmer back then.
Do you see why this is current-day hysteria?
Seems like it when you look at this.
Let somebody,
this is some kind of a cycle.
Let somebody explain how the average temperature rose 34 degrees in Greenland 2 million years ago and then cooled again to turn everything icy and hard. How did all that happen? They don't know.
All right, our guest.
And by the way, the hysteria that if we go up 2 degrees, the world's going to come into end. We're all going to boil over. What boiled over back then in Greenland? Looks like they had a rich, diverse life. All these different species. Even a mastodon.
Sam Kanonis is our guest coming up next. New York Times bestselling author of a book of Dreamland. And now we're going to talk about The Least of Us, the true tales of America and hope in the time of fentanyl and meth. And we're going to hone in, like we did a couple of months ago, talking to him about super meth and the homeless. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.